it can be permanently spoiled. All right? These contaminants, first of all, the molecules of sin. All right? Molecules of sin. All right? Sin is something that can contaminate our savor. It's important that we are a savor to the world. That the Bible says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ," all right, "and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place." All right, now, that's important, okay? So that's the molecules of sin. And, of course, you know, there's a verse up there. Go ahead and turn it to that. And go to the next one. Can you change it? Don't worry about it. Okay, all right. There we go. Okay, go again. Go again. See, well, Harrison, you're not the only one. Okay, don't worry. All right, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Basically, don't be in denial of your sin. All right? Look, if you say that you have no sin, you're a liar. Did I say that? Seriously, did I say that? I did? The Bible, that's right. The Bible says, if a man say, "I have no sin," he is a liar. That's what it says. So here's the thing, is don't deny it. Accept what's true and then reject it. Repent of it, all right? You know, if this makes you feel any better, just remember the Bible says, "Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Basically, it's a disease that started with Adam. You know, if you're a person who has AIDS and you give birth to a child, chances are that child's going to have AIDS too, isn't he? Right? And you know what? It's the same thing that happened with Adam. All right? We're struggling with sin as a human race. We sinned in Adam. We were in Adam at one time, all right? All that stuff is really, you know, you can get really scientific with all that. But we were in him, all right? Our life was in him. And then he was our great, 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 way back father, all right? And then, all right, our dad, when my dad was alive in 1960, I was in him. And then one day I became born. All right? Now, if he died, I would have died in him. But he didn't die, and he had Mike Barnett in 1978. All right? Now, it's the same thing with this. All right, now, basically what I'm saying is all of us struggle with sin. And there are sins that you need to recognize that you're dealing with. And you need to confess them and confront them and say, "Look, you know what? None of this stuff is worth putting off what God wants to do. He's standing in the wings ready to do it. And we need to make sure that we're straight with him because he wants to pour abundant blessings." Look, I'm going to tell you, there's accounts that I've read about revivals that have taken place where they would say, and I'm talking about multiple accounts where they said, "We didn't know if we were in heaven or on earth." Can you imagine what that must have been like? And just that presence of revival, the presence of the Lord. And that's the key, by the way, all right? You'll know when God has manifested himself in this place because you won't know whether you're in heaven or on earth. That's the virtue. That's the blessing of having God near us. Think about it. If you draw near to him, he's going to draw near to you. Have you ever gotten close to somebody who smelled bad? All right, when you get closer to them, you're like, right? All right, now, spiritually, the Lord lets off a fragrance, but boy, it's a sweet one. And when he gets close, oh man, all of us know it. All of us know it. I'm going to go back to that story about the Moravian revival, all right? August 13th, all right, 1727. All right, the preacher was standing there preaching, and all of a sudden, he became aware of the presence of the Lord Jesus, and he could not complete his sermon. Fell to his knees, and then to his face, and stayed there for hours. the rest of the people had no idea what was going on, and some of the more spiritual ones joined him. But the very next Sunday, that same experience that that minister had, they all had. And there's accounts that say, we didn't know whether we were in earth or whether we were in heaven anymore. It was a sweet and special service. And God began to do amazing things, including the 100-year 24/7 prayer meeting. How'd that work? Families all in the church got together, and they all agreed to pray 1 hour within the day, and they did that for 100 years. The only way that that could have happened is if the Holy Spirit was working. If I said, we're going to do that here at this church, it wouldn't last very long if the Holy Spirit wasn't in it. Amen. See what I'm saying? It had to be the Holy Spirit. All right, so that's something that can happen now. And I'll tell you, we need another Moravian Pentecost. We really do. We really do. All right, then you have the next thing is the meshes of self. You got to get self out of the way. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Self can get in the way of the Savior. All right, I think you got that. There you go. All right. Self can cause the salt to clump up and it gets contaminated. All right, you can lose your savor by allowing self to get into the way. And then finally, the moisture of scars. And this is where I didn't get to the moisture of scars, okay? I don't know if you've heard people who talk with this type of attitude. They say, I'm not trying to say, they make excuses, all right? Now, I've heard some people who say, I wish that I had been taught some of the things that some of these kids here are being taught, things like that. That's okay. It's all right to have those kinds of regrets. There are things I wish I had been taught. But making an excuse to do wrong by saying, well, I wasn't raised that way, and blaming things on the past and saying, well, I didn't have the luxuries that you have, and that's why I struggle with the bitterness that I struggle with. I didn't get to go to school like you did. I wasn't raised in a good Christian home like you were. All of us struggle with something, all right? And some of us have had to deal with harder circumstances. And, that's something that I can't help. The Lord allowed those circumstances. He has a reason for it, and he wants to make the best of it so that you can reach someone in the world that no one else could reach. All right, so you have the moisture of scars. That's memory. Memory. Hebrews 12, and then we're going to be done, all right? Hebrews 12. And then we're going to get to what I want to do. Hebrews 12. And I want us to look. You've heard me preach this before. Look what it says in verse 14. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently. All right, now, does that mean that I'm supposed to keep check with how everybody's living for the Lord? Brother Joe, you are living right, right? How about you, Brother Aaron? All right. Is that what that means? So looking diligently. Does that mean I'm supposed to be looking, well, as a pastor, a pastor means shepherd, all right? A shepherd always feels the sheep and makes sure there's nothing that's growing on the sheep that doesn't need to be there, okay? It is important that I pry. And yes, you may think that it's not good for me to get into your business, but that's my job. Your business is my business. I know that sounds kind of funny, but it's true. That's what I'm supposed to do, all right? That's none of your business. Oh, well, yes, it is. It's God made you my business. Am I right? Am I supposed to just ignore you? No, you are my sheep. God gave you to me as a pastor. You know what? God gave me to you. Do you know that? He gave some apostles, some prophets. He gave some evangelists and some pastors. But at the same time, you're a gift to me, the Bible says. And I want to make sure that everything's straight. All right, looking diligently. All right, now, this, as far as you are concerned, it is important that we look around. All right, and if you see something evident, yes, confrontation is necessary. But if it's not evident, it's one of those things where you have to pray about it. But most importantly, this verse is talking about looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. All right, now that's not talking about losing your salvation. That's talking about failing of the Spirit overflowing in his life. All right, now I want you to, if you can write this down, if you have something to write with, you don't have to write this down, but I would encourage you to write this down. You could write it down in your Bible, all right, if you want to. This is something that I want you to take with you. God puts his grace into you in order to get out of you what he wants from you, all right? I'm going to say that again, all right? God puts his grace, all right? Everybody ready? God puts his grace into you so that he can get out of you what he wants from you. All right? God says, I want you to keep my commandments. Well, what is one of those commandments? Somebody give me one. Yeah? Thou shalt not kill. Okay. Definitely. We don't want anybody killing anybody. How about love your neighbor? How about love your enemy? How about love thy neighbor as what? Thyself. Wow. How about turn the other cheek? How about go and preach the gospel to every creature? Loving your enemy, I already said that, okay? Doing all these things that God commanded us in his word. Isn't that what he wants? But do you know that he doesn't expect us to generate that? Isn't that a blessing? He puts his grace into us so that he can get out of us what he wants. Keep my commandments. But I'm going to help you with that. When you see that I'm going to send another comforter, that doesn't necessarily mean just somebody who comes and comforts you. It means somebody who helps you to do those things. You have to experience it for yourself. I cannot explain it to you, but I can honestly tell you that when I look at my enemy and I say, Lord, I you know what? I can pretend to love this guy, but I don't. I need your help, Lord. I need your love. I think of that song, You Gave Me Your Love, Lord, in A Fine Family. You know, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. You know, that's a good song. And You Gave Me Your Love, Lord, kind of represents salvation. But to me, I take that as You Gave Me Your Love, Lord, so that I can love my enemy. You know, I kind of want to change the verse around a little bit and say it like that. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Hey, you could put it in there. It rhymes. You gave me your love, Lord, so I could love my enemy. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Right? All right, so what I'm saying is that his grace comes down on us, and he's able to get out of us what he wants. That's a blessing, isn't it? What a blessing. Now, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, all right, what happens then, all right? Lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest, there's another lest. All right, so once you've failed of the grace of God, here's the next step. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. And then here's the next step. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. All right, so here's the thing. Bitterness, a lot of times you have to be careful. When you are listening to somebody talk, all right, and you hear them disgusted with people all around them, all right, because I'm going to tell you something. There's nobody, not one single person around you that's perfect. But here's the problem. When you start hearing somebody talking about this person and this person and this person and this person, do you know what? You know what's actually wrong with them? They're saying, God, I'm not happy with what you've done with my life. I'm not happy with the people you've brought into my life. That's what profane means, all right? God? Oh, he's never helped me. What you really have is an anger towards God, and you need to go and take it up with him. You need to just go to him, and you need to say, Lord, I'm mad at you, and it's not right, and I'd really like for you to help me with that. I'm bitter towards you. You know? Look, if you're really bitter against the person that you're angry with, why don't you just ask God to kill him? You're not going to do that, are you? So really the problem that you have is with God. That's the problem. Because if the person that you're having a problem with, if you want them out of the way so badly and you feel like it's right, why don't you just ask God to take care of it? If it is right, ask him. He said he would answer anything. And it would anything that would glorify him, ask him, and he'll remove that person out of your life. But you know that's not the answer, is it? The fact is God put that person in your life because he knew exactly what you needed. And because that person's in your life and it's making you bitter, you're angry at God about it. Profanity, all right? Anger towards God. Fornication. Look, I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of... Did you know that most of the homosexuals in this world, 92% of them, I think that was the number, have been sexually molested by their parents or somebody in their family? All right? That's bitter, which leads to that wicked, vile lifestyle that they have. I'm not going to go any further, all right? But the moisture of scars can contaminate your salt, and it's necessary that we get that taken care of. Okay. I've taken more time than I really wanted to. All right, now it's your turn, all right? I want you to, all right, how many of you thought about a remarkable answer to prayer, a remarkable prayer that you'd love to see answered? Did anybody think about that by any chance? Amen, Aaron did, good. Anybody else? Think about something, even now. I want us to get ready for our prayer meeting next week, all right? I'm excited about it, and I want to see God do some remarkable things, and I want to, you know what, let's not just come here and pray for revival and all that stuff, and it's good that we do that. Let's not just pray that the sound system will work. Let's not just pray that the preacher will preach good sermons and that souls would be saved. Let's pray for some remarkable things. Let's pray for some things that, what are some things that you would like to see? Now, let me tell you something. We are your family. There's nothing that's going to sound stupid to us. I don't care what it is, if it's something you'd like to see done in your own personal life. You know what? We need to know about it so that we can pray with you about it. What's something that you would love to see that you don't have in your own personal life? Something that can make you a better servant for the Lord Jesus? All right? Something that will help you. You know what? Some of you have some serious walls in your life. Some of you have some pitfalls. Some of you have some struggles, all right? There are things that God wants to answer for you, all right? I'm not asking, you know, you don't have to do this. But what I'm saying is nobody's going to think, I don't care how crazy your idea is, God can do it. He can. So while you're thinking about those things, somebody give me a song they'd like to sing. And then after I sing a song, I want to hear a testimony, all right? This is what I'm going to do. We're going to sing a song. We're going to sing one verse of that song. And then I want somebody to tell me something that the Lord has done for you within these past couple weeks, okay? It's just been a few weeks since the Lord has begun to really do some mighty things in this church. And I'd like to hear what God's been doing in your heart, okay? So somebody tell me a song. Just give me the name of one. We can look it up. Don't worry. You don't have to look it up. Yeah? You know what that one is? 439? Okay, that's a good one. Dwelling in Beulah Land. All right, we'll sing We'll sing the first verse. Now remember, this is a revival hymn. This is a hymn about being in the heavenly places now. It's not later, it's now. So let's sing it, okay? Ready? Here we go. Far away the noise of strife upon my ear is falling. Oh, then I know the sins of earth beset on every hand. Doubt and fear and things of earth in vain to me are calling, because none of these shall move me from Beulah Land, because I'm living on the mountain underneath the cloudless sky. Praise God, I'm drinking at the fountain, listen, that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah Land. You know, I can tell that the Lord is already moving in this service. I mean, Wilson wasn't even sure what he looked at me and he goes, I'm not exactly sure, but boy, he picked a good one, didn't he? Amen. All right, so what's the Lord been doing for somebody? Somebody just stand up. If you need to stand behind the pulpit, that's fine. I want to hear you. All right, so if you want to stand up here, feel free to, or you can just stay right there. But somebody share something that the Lord's been doing in your heart. I'll give you a chance, okay? Amen, brother. You want to come up here or you want to stay there? Okay.
I stand up there long enough.
Okay. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for working in my heart, because as Pastor started presenting revival, I was not scared. I was not enthusiastic. I didn't have the same vision.
Mm-hmm.
I thank and praise God that He's given me that vision.
Amen. You know, that's good.
It's a sweet aroma, and it gets better.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, brother. That was good. Amen. Okay. How about a prayer? What's something that you'd like to see God do? Think of something big. What's something big, Will Harrison?
Pray for revival.
Okay. What? Okay. That's a good one. Anybody else want to? Want? Yeah. Yes. I believe we're going to see it. Amen. I believe Doug Truslow is going to get saved. Amen.
I pray all the time for Jeremy and Kevin's salvation.
Amen. Amen. You know, that revival will do that. It really will. And that is a remarkable answer to prayer. Amen. It would be. Yes, Judd? He wants to see your dad come to church. That's awesome.
Amen.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Amen. Yeah, that'd be a great answer to prayer, wouldn't it? Yeah?
Souls getting saved.
Souls getting saved. Amen. Yeah. Y'all hold on to these things. Hold on to what's yours. Judd, don't forget that, all right? Because for the prayer meeting next week, I want you to pray that way, and we're going to pray with you, okay, about that, okay? Anybody else? Oh.
Oh, yeah. You know the name of the car of Lakeview Drive? I want to see him come to Ready America and see some get saved.
You really have had a burden for those people, haven't you? He has been on to me like white on rice about those new moves. I'll tell you, there's some people that moved in on the corner, and I mean, Harrison, every time we pass by, he goes, are we going to give them a flyer? So you know what? We need to pray. That would be a remarkable answer to prayer.
Yeah, I
Amen. That's good. We need to pray that God will work in those things, okay?
Right.
How about anybody else? Yeah?
The pastor will return Patsy during this
revival. Yeah. Amen. Boy, wouldn't that be awesome? During the revival. That would be remarkable. Wouldn't that be something if Patsy came back in the middle of this thing? That would be great. Now, see, that's what I'm talking about, a prayer that it seems unlikely, but God can do it. You know, D.L. Moody, he came into it. They got the schedule mixed up. You know another pastor that did that? I did that one time. Remember that? I had John Van Gelderen come, and I got the week mixed up. Remember? Oh, I was just so ashamed. But anyway, D.L. Moody, somebody messed up the schedule, and he shows up in this big, huge place, and there's three people attending. And he looks at all three of them, and he says, "How many of you believe that God can fill up this auditorium?" And they all raised their hand, and he said, "How many of you believe God will?" And nobody raised their hand. Why? Because that just seems impossible, doesn't it? But you know what? That's another story John Wesley was telling. He was telling a story about how that he prayed. There was very few people that came in because of the weather. There was a storm, and everybody was afraid. And he began to pray, and people just began to pour in the middle of the storm. Amen. People started filling up that place, and he had a chance to preach. And he like he says in all of his entries, just about, "I preached to a group such as I'd never seen before." He said that in just about every one of his entries. All right, well, that's good. How about another song? Think about some other things, okay? 596, okay. Amen. And that's a great verse at the top, too. All right, let's sing it. Here we go. "I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory! In Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood." Amen. All right. Anybody else have a testimony or a song or anything? Yeah? Amen, sister.
I've had some trials and tribulations and some ups and downs since I've come back to the Lord. But I've got to praise God tonight, because these last couple of weeks, he dealt with me, as the song says. First he dealt with me. But these last couple of weeks, I've probably been closer to God than I ever have in my entire life.
Hallelujah. That's a remarkable answer, isn't it?
I know God can give me that love for all of his children, not just the ones I choose to love.
Amen. That's good. That's good. And you know, the Lord can do that with you just as much as he can save the lowest person. And anybody else have a testimony they want to share? I don't want you to forget your testimony. If you have a song, just hold on a second. I want to read something to you real quick. Anybody have a testimony? All right, I want to read something, okay? I told you I've been reading John Wesley's journal. It's a long one. That guy lived to be in his 90s, and he wrote in his journal until he was 90. So it's long, but I want you to listen to this. This is something I want to see. I want to see stuff like this happen, all right? This is called the Drunkard's Magnificat, all right? And it's not very long, all right? He says this, "Thursday the 16th, at 5 in the evening, I preached at Dewsbury, and on Friday 17th reached Manchester. Here I received a particular account of a remarkable incident." And listen to this. "An eminent drunkard of Coggleton used to divert himself whenever there was preaching there." Basically, he showed up at the sermons just to cause trouble, all right? by standing over against the house, cursing and swearing at the preacher. Basically, he stood out the window. You imagine me preaching a sermon, and here's some guy outside. And boy, now that'd be a remarkable answer to prayer, that the Lord would help Pastor Mike not be distracted. Man, that would be something great. I'd love it if you could pray that. But here's a drunkard outside, and he's sitting there cussing and swearing while the preacher's trying to preach. How irritating is that? One evening, he had a fancy to step in and hear what the man had to say. He did so, but it made him so uneasy that he could not sleep all night. In the morning, he was more uneasy still. He walked in the fields, but all in vain, till it came in his mind to go to one of his merry companions who was always ready to abuse the Methodists. All right, and that's what he was. And by the way, Methodist was not a denomination. It was actually a group, a society of people who were in the midst of a revival who were out of the Anglican Church. They didn't become a denomination until later. He told him how he was and asked what he should do. "Do," said Samuel, "go and join the society." "I will, for I was never so uneasy in my life." They did so without delay, all right? They basically became Methodists, all right? But presently, this is a trick, by the way. But presently, David cried out, "I am sorry I joined, for I shall get drunk again, and they will turn me out." However, he stood firm for 4 days. On the fifth, he was persuaded by the old companions to take one pint. All right. All right. He was sober for 4 days. He said, "All right, I'm a Methodist now. I'm going to church." And he was sober for 4 days. And then his companions said, "Just have one pint. Just one cup." All right. And then another and another, till one of them said, "See, here is a Methodist drunk." David started up and knocked him over, chair and all. He then drove the rest out of the house, caught up the landlady, carried her out, threw her into the kennel, went back to the house, broke down the door, threw it into the street, and then ran into the fields, tore his hair, and rolled up and down on the ground. In a day or two was a love feast, all right, basically like a potluck, all right? That's a modern-day potluck in church. You know, the Methodist, the joke is if you're a Methodist, you can't get to heaven without a covered dish, all right? And so that's what they had. He stole in, getting behind, that none might see him. He was basically ashamed. While Mr. Furze was at prayer, he was seized with a dreadful agony, both of body and mind. What do you think that was? He was under conviction, wasn't he? All right. This caused many to wrestle with God for him. All right. Basically, he was just in such agony, people began to pray, "Lord, would you help this guy? There's something wrong with him." All right. In a while, he sprang up on his feet, stretched out his hands. I love this. And cried aloud, "All my sins are forgiven." Just out of the midst. I mean, he'd just gotten drunk. His friends embarrassed him. Just, he got angry, tore everything to pieces. You just heard about that. Ran into the church for help, was ashamed, and all of a sudden the Lord got a hold of him and he stood up and he realized, "God forgave me of my sins." Listen to this. At the same instant, one on the other side of the room cried out, "Jesus is mine and he has taken away all my sins." Somebody else cried out across the other side of the room. And you know what? It went on like that all throughout the church. And basically revival broke out in that little building while John Wesley was preaching. And you know, I want to see stuff like that happen. I want to see drunks. I want to see the lowest of the low. I want you to think of somebody that you think, no, could never get saved. All right? I'm thinking of a few right now. All right? I know you are. And you know what? He can save them and change them. You know, there's a, you know, I'll tell you what, I better not mention it right now, but there's a man that Mike Kennedy knows. And it just seems like it's impossible for him to get saved. Seems like there's just no way that he'd ever get saved. God can save him. Yes. He really can. All right. Anybody have a testimony or a song? Anybody want to sing something? Yeah? Wait a minute. You already picked one.
No, I didn't.
You didn't? Okay, what is it? What is it?
It's in the Quran of the Handbook for
USMB. Okay, let's sing we'll sing the first verse. Why don't we sing the third verse? All right? "We go in faith, our own great weakness feeling." All right? No, let's just sing the first verse. Harrison knows that one pretty good. We'll sing the first verse, okay? First verse. All right, here we go. Ready? We rest on thee, our shield and our defender. We go not forth alone against the foe. Strong in thy strength, safe in thy keeping tender, we rest on thee, and in thy name we go. Amen. All right, anybody else have a testimony, something they want to share? Thank you for your testimony, by the way, Lisa.
Yes, yes, yes.
Amen.
Amen. You know, no one is ever so lost that the Lord cannot save.
Amen.
And I know, of course, you know, we're probably thinking on the same line.
Yeah. Amen.
But, and I'm going to tell you something. Some things have gone on in my life that, you know, some people would probably think, no way possible. I can deal with that. Even if it's an illustration, I'm using this as an illustration of my children. You know, I haven't seen my children in a long time. A long time. But he has, the Lord knew I was going to have to deal with that.
Yes.
And he brought me to a low point in my life. That I didn't have any choice but to reach out to him and ask him to come into my life. And, but he was just giving me a peace that only I wish my children had. But I feel like, you know, I can handle anything because my life. Honestly, that's just the way I feel.
Amen, brother. Amen. Amen.
And because of that, it's allowed me to prepare each and every day in order to bring a good lesson.
Amen. Amen.
But I just thank him for everything he's done in my life. Nothing is ever too small or too big for God. But the only thing you have to do is just reach out to him and ask him.
Amen. I just thought of a remarkable answer to prayer while you were talking. And, you know, you got, I'll tell you what, folks, I'll tell you, as far as his prayer for his children, and if, you know, like Joe said, one day he's going to share his testimony, but it would be remarkable. The things that he's been through, the things that Brother Joe has been through with his kids, it'd be a miraculous thing to see his children come to Christ. So let's pray for that, okay? And I just thought of another remarkable answer to prayer. I'm praying that my dad will turn back to Jesus.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
That seems impossible, doesn't it? And the Lord's a God of He's a God of impossibilities. He can do it. He can do it. I'm praying my dad, you know, wouldn't that be something if my dad came walking through the door this week and came contrite and broken? I believe it could happen. I believe God could grip his heart tonight. And he would make preparations to be here by Friday and come crawling to the altar. I believe he could do it. I believe God could do it. Y'all pray with me about that. I'm going to pray for Patsy. You know, I truly do believe, folks. I just have, Satan has done his best to try and blot out all of these things that are coming to my mind, but I just believe that we are about to see some things that we didn't even know could happen. That's why I want you to prepare your hearts for this. That's why I'm trying to get you thinking. All right? So Think about something else. You know, I just told you, you know, my dad is, he hasn't been near the Lord in years. There was a time, I believe, he walked with the Lord. John Van Gelderen called him and Mark and Scott. Scott took his life recently. But John Van Gelderen, you've heard him, he called my dad and Mark and Scott, he called them the Barney brothers, all right? Sounds kind of funny, the Barney brothers. Well, you know what? He said, if we had a chance to go soul winning with the Barney brothers, it was a big deal. He said, those were some of the most powerful soul winners we'd ever known. And he told me that. And Dad was a soul winner? I mean, he just broke me down to tears. It seemed, you know, I told my dad that. I was hoping it would turn my dad. And my dad looked at me coldly, had absolutely no feelings, and didn't even say a word about it. Pray that he will do that. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anybody else have a song or a remarkable answer to prayer that they'd like to see, Mom?
595.
595. Okay, let's turn there. Wilson, you've already picked one. Okay, I got to pick some others, all right? All right. Oh, this is a good one. This is a good revival song, Just a Closer Walk. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Amen. Here we go. I am weak, but thou art strong. Oh, Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Oh, let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Oh, grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Anybody else have a testimony, something? I hope you're thinking about this. I hope none of you are thinking, oh, come on, this is crazy. Yeah?
As Joe was speaking, I was reminded of my estranged relationship with my children.
Mm-hmm.
And also reminded of a song that we used to sing in some of the churches I attended called God's Special Actions. Doing the things that are impossible.
He certainly is.
And it's wonderful to know that he's the one that can do all things that we think are impossible to be done. And I'm claiming my children who are Jehovah's Witnesses, or practicing Jehovah's Witnesses at this time, and God will say, in answer to our prayers and his commitment to be responsible for answering our prayers.
Amen. I'm thankful for you, brother. I've gotten so close to you. I really have, and I'm thankful for it. You are a true friend, and I appreciate you so much. I'll tell you, God's drawn me close to many of you. You know, I've grown to appreciate you, and I'll tell you, it's been a wonderful journey. Let's sing 402. I know that some of you have a song. Just hold on to it. It's just this one little chorus here. Nothing is impossible. That's a good song to sing after what I just heard. I hope you can play that. I'm sorry. Alright. Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. Nothing is impossible when you're trusting in his word. Oh, hearken to the voice of God to thee. Is there anything too hard for me? Then put your trust in God alone and rest upon his word. For everything, oh, everything, yes, everything is possible with God. He can set the captives free. He can do anything that he wants to do. Amen. Nothing's impossible. Don't limit him. You know what? He gave you a blank check. He put, I am. You fill in the blank. That's it. That's the name on the check, and then there's the blank. All right? I am. I am, and you can fill it in. He'll do whatever you ask. Anybody else have anything? A song or a testimony, something that they'd like to share? Yeah, hang on a minute. Does anybody else have one? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think about your burden for Ronnie, and you've mentioned him more than any of them. You've mentioned many of them, but especially him and Faye. And you know, that would be a remarkable answer to prayer. To see him walking through the doors on the day of Ready America really would be. And, you know, let's pray about that this week. Let's pray they show up. You know, praying for Ronnie, that would be an answer to prayer. But to me, a remarkable answer to prayer, Miss Helen, would be for them to show up on the week of the revival. That would be remarkable. We need to pray that way. Were you going to say something? I thought you were going to say something.
For all this has shown me how vitally important our families are,
Yes. And
how much Satan does to separate our families. But God's church is built with families. And I just believe that God can save Kayla's family and restore them. And he can do this. I'm praying for Trell's grandpa to know God.
Yes, I'm glad you mentioned him. It's good. This seems impossible, doesn't it, Kayla?
He can't. Go ahead and say this because I pray for it every single day. I'm praying that God will send two real men for my girls back here that would love nothing better than to have a family for their own. And
that's
right. I'm not trying to embarrass you, but the truth is God cares about the impossible.
Yes, he does. Amen.
And I'm praying for that. And I think we all need to pray for that.
And we need, you know, it's like what she said. The church is founded on families, you know, and that's a heart's desire that we've heard about. And so y'all do that, all right? We love our girls. We really do. And, you know, let's pray God will get them started, all right? Let's pray that way. And anybody else have anything? Yeah? 1:12, okay. That's a good one. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Amen. Anybody else have one?
Yes.
Yep.
A song.
Sure.
393,
okay. How many of y'all are going to try to make it next week to as many of the prayer meetings as you can? Okay. Okay, that's good, good. We got a good number. That's a great number. Amen. Blessed Assurance. That's a great song. Brother Clarence Sexton loves this song. He loves this song. Blessed Assurance. All right. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Amen. That's good. Good song. Amen. Anybody else have a testimony? Yeah? I want to say Shania and Shamaj. I think that's their names.
Yeah. Well, I'm thankful.
Oh, here it is, Shania and Samaj. Yeah, that's. Amen. Amen. That's good. Yeah. That's great. That's wonderful, Harrison. I'll tell you about Harrison. My prayer for him was, he knows so much about animals, and he's just brilliant when it comes to talking about all these different creatures and things. And oftentimes I would ask him, "Hey, Harrison, do you remember what I preached on?" And he couldn't remember, you know. And I told him, I said, "Harrison, I said, there's nothing I'd love more than for you to remember what God's word says, like you remember these animals." And he looked at me and he goes, "Yeah, I know." And he says, "I just have a hard time listening," and I just kind of let it go. And I started praying and I said, "Lord, would you give him a hunger for the word like you do with those animals and stuff?" And all of a sudden, do you mind, can you do this? Can you do your verses?
Oh, yeah.
All of a sudden, come up here and do this. All of a sudden, at one of our devotions, he starts praying. And when he prays, he quotes, go ahead and quote him.
"My eyes are," it's what David says in Psalm 25. "My eyes are ever toward the Lord, and he shall pluck my feet out of the net." In this psalm, what Daddy knows, he says this: "Oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, or let my enemies triumph over me." And in Psalm 18, he says this: "I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to praise, and I shall be saved from my enemies." And what Moses says on Exodus 15: "The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God."
He was praying this, and he was applying those verses to the prayer. And I'm sitting here praying like we normally do, and I'm like, "Harrison, did you memorize this?" And Marianne said, "Yeah, he spent just about all night memorizing those verses." And I thought, praise God, he's getting a thirst for the word. And thanks for doing that. I appreciate it. I just wanted to show you what the Lord's doing for me.
Amen.
So anyway, all right. Anybody else have anything? We're just about ready to stop here, and I go home and.
I have a song.
Okay.
6:55.
Okay. After that, we'll go ahead and close in prayer. Okay, and I look forward to next week. And you know what? The fact that you're coming next week for prayer meeting tells me that you're really hungry for something, because you're going to be going to a prayer meeting next week, and then the next week we're going to have a revival meeting. So I'll tell you what, folks, God is really doing something for me. Sunshine in my soul, it's a good one. All right, let's sing it, okay? There is sunshine in my soul today, more glorious and bright than glows in any earthly sky. for Jesus is my light. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. Amen. Now, I want to encourage you, okay? If you can't make it on time, try to make it at least. If you can make it at 7, we'll probably still be here, all right? And you can, if you want, you can send me a text and I'll respond. I won't, you know, and so those of you who are in the prayer meeting, the reason why I have the texting is because I'm letting people know, hey, we're still here, come on over. God's doing something. And that way you don't have